Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water, filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze. We put it in, it took like 30 seconds, guys. And its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I love spring. I feel like it's the perfect time to hit reset. Get rid of the things that don't work, bring in things that do work. With Nexivo Naturals CBD products, you can get rid of oil-based CBD, which doesn't work very well, and introduce CBD that will help you live well, happily, with less stress and greater sleep quality. Oil-based CBD just doesn't mix well with our bodies because our bodies are mostly water. But Nexivo Naturals developed a clinically tested, water-soluble form of CBD, and their gummies and capsules are proven to work faster and absorb better than oil-based products. For a limited time in April, you can get 60% off an order of $40 or more by using code PANTSUIT at Nexivo.com. I really value the sleep complex. It is CBD with melatonin, and it just helps take the edge off my day when my thoughts are racing as I hit the pillow. I can just kind of feel myself melting away. I wake up refreshed. I sleep all night. I think it is such a good product that has been, for years now, really valuable to me. Give your life a refresh with more effective and fast-acting CBD from Nexivo Naturals. For a limited time in April, get 60% off any order of $40 or more by using code PANTSUIT at Nexivo.com. That's 60% off any order of $40 or more only in April at Nextevo.com with promo code PANTSUIT.
Hi everybody, it's Beth here for part two of our primer on Iran's relationship with the United States. If you've not yet listened to part one, I strongly encourage you to go back and start there because I think the context is really important to understanding the evolution of this relationship. When I began part one, the United States and Iran were on pretty good terms, and then the United States participates in this plot to overthrow the democratically elected prime minister and take Iran back to a monarchy. We go through the revolution that brings Ayatollah Khomeini to power, who is the death to America guy. So there is a long history there that we really need to understand to know how and why we got to where we are today. Post-revolution, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps is established, or the IRGC. This is the group, when the United States talks about Iran as a state sponsor of terror, that drives that terrorism throughout the world. Our State Department classifies the IRGC as a terrorist organization itself. It also provides money and training and weapons to terrorist organizations throughout the world. In 1995, the IRGC held a conference of groups believed to engage in terrorist activities for the purpose of training them to overthrow existing governments. That conference included the Japanese Red Army, the Armenian Secret Army, the Kurdistan Workers' Party, the Iraqi Dawa Party, the Islamic Front for the Liberation of Bahrain, and Hezbollah. It is also critical for you to know that Iran does not recognize Israel as a state and funds Hamas and Hezbollah, as well as Islamist Jihad in Israel. And that is important to understanding both the United States' relationship with Iran and the military activity that Israel is engaging in the Middle East right now. A brief aside here, Iran absolutely supports terrorism in the world. I want you to understand that Iran supports Shia extremism, and there are also acts of terror perpetrated by Sunni extremists. So it is not one branch of Islam that is being used as a basis for terror. It is also not inherent to either Shia Islam or Sunni Islam to engage in acts of terror or to the Muslim faith in any way. It's just there are important differences between Shia-backed and Sunni-backed terror. And I'm going to link in the show notes an article from the Brookings Institute that I think does an excellent job explaining those differences and why they matter. The United States in the mid-90s accused Iran of sponsoring terrorism, talked about Iran's human rights abuses, and talked about how Iran was sabotaging the Arab-Israeli peace process and started to implement severe oil and trade sanctions on Iran. And I think this has really formed the basis of our modern understanding of Iran. In 1997, Iran elected a reformer, Mohammad Khatami, as its president. He called for a dialogue with the American people and wanted to calm U.S.-Iran relations, but there was never a breakthrough. In fact, tension continued to escalate. In 2002, George W. Bush called Iran, Iraq, and North Korea an axis of evil, which, as you can imagine, did not go over well in Iran. And here begins kind of the cycle of fear about Iran's development of nuclear capabilities. Now, I'm going to go through some information that's a little bit dry and that's difficult to understand, especially if you don't have any background in nuclear weapon capabilities. And I do not. So I've done my best to put this together in a way that we can all follow. But I just want to acknowledge that it's going to be dry for a second. Hang with me. In 2003, the International Atomic Energy Agency said Iran admitted that it was producing plutonium, but saw no evidence that it was developing nuclear weapons. At that point, Iran agreed to more rigorous inspections of its nuclear facilities by the UN. In 2006, Iran elects Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, an Islamic hardliner who had been the mayor of Tehran, who campaigned on bringing back the populist values of the 1979 revolution. Ahmadinejad continued to expand the nuclear program. He said that it was to produce energy for civilians, but the way that he interacted with other countries and the activities that he engaged in Iran made it difficult to believe that. As some examples, he gave a speech to the UN General Assembly accusing Israel of occupation and racism. He questioned the Holocaust. In 2010, he gave a speech at the UN saying that the United States government was behind the 9/11 attacks. During this process, the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, released a report saying that Iran's suspected research into developing nuclear weapons was a matter of serious concern. At this point, the EU nations imposed new sanctions against Iran. So both the United States and the EU have serious sanctions in place relative to Iran. On top of that, Ahmadinejad was a horrible economic manager. He spent huge amounts of money and inflation skyrocketed. His election to a second term was widely disputed and caused protest in Iran. Both traditionalists and reformers in parliament opposed him during his second term. He was term limited at that point, and in 2013, Hassan Rouhani, who is now the president, was elected as his successor. Just as a side note, in 2017, Ahmadinejad wanted to run again for the presidency, but the Guardian Council rejected his nomination. So now we have Rouhani as Iran's president. He ran on restoring the economy and improving relations with the West, and obviously those two things are very interrelated. Rouhani is often described as a moderate. He has improved women's rights. He encourages free access to information. And he's done a pretty good job internationally in forging some relationships. He famously tweeted in 2013 about the first phone call between himself and President Obama. That was the first direct conversation between U.S. and Iranian heads of state in 30 years. In November of 2013, an interim agreement was signed to start negotiating a framework for an agreement related to Iran's nuclear development.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm not a research scientist, but I know that having a good hair day correlates with a good mood for me. And I have many more good hair days since I've been using Pros. I use the Pros shampoo, conditioner, curl cream, gel, and occasionally the hair mask. These products were formulated specifically for me, not for my hair type, but for me, what I eat, where I live, the specific issues that worry me about my naturally curly and very thick hair. Since I've been using Pros, I've noticed that I can go longer between washes without my hair looking dull or feeling oily. I've noticed that my curl structure is stronger and healthier. I've noticed that my hair has figured out how it wants to just lie on my head. I'm not fighting with it every day anymore. I feel like my hair and I have come to a peace truce. And that is really emotionally beneficial to me, in addition to producing lots of compliments on my hair everywhere I go. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/pantsuit. So get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/pantsuit. That's PROSE.com/pantsuit.
You know we love rituals to celebrate the changing seasons and the different celebrations in our lives. You guys, this year I committed to Olive and June as a part of my ritual. I really wanted to paint my nails more regularly, and I have done a great job. I don't mean to brag on myself, mainly because they make it so easy. It's really, really all about that Manny system, especially the nail strengthener, which I'm very passionate about. I just love using the colors to mark the fun things happening in my week. Lime fizz for St. Patrick's Day. Sequin everything when I went to the beach. Grateful and kind for Valentine's Day week. I just think it puts a little pep in my step. And they make it so easy with the system. The manicures last so long. It's like $2 a manicure, basically. They always have the most amazing polishes. I love following their Instagram for ideas about manicures. I just love everything about Olive and June. That's the long and short of it, guys. Visit oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first Manny system.
After 20 months of negotiation, the P5 plus one, that's China, France, Russia, the UK, and the United States, the five permanent members of the UN Security Council, plus Germany and the EU, entered into the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, with Iran. The JCPOA is 159 pages long with five annexes. It has been endorsed by the UN Security Council. It was adopted on July 20th of 2015. It mandates actions in a number of categories that I'm going to go through quickly, mostly because I do not understand nuclear development well enough to accurately and succinctly tell you why some of these provisions matter. And I am relying on a fact sheet from armscontrol.org here that I will include in the show notes. So the first broad category is enrichment. For 10 years, the number of centrifuges that can be operated in Iran is severely limited. Excess centrifuges have to be dismantled and stored and monitored by the IAEA. It caps the level of uranium that can be enriched for 15 years and limits where and how that uranium can be enriched. It says that for 10 years, Iran cannot produce any additional IR-1 centrifuges. The next category is uranium stockpiling. For 15 years, the amount that is stockpiled is limited. Iran has to sell, ship abroad for storage, or dilute to natural levels any excess enriched uranium. There are limitations on a particular facility in Iran that has to be converted to a research facility with Russian cooperation, and no uranium can be introduced at that facility for 15 years. There are limitations on the type of research that Iran can conduct with uranium, in particular types of centrifuges. And this agreement establishes a joint commission of the countries that participated in this agreement. And for 10 years, that commission has to review and approve any changes to Iran's research and development plans. There are provisions about a particular reactor in Iran and how it can be used. There are limitations on heavy water reactors and the accumulation of heavy water in Iran. And heavy water is critical to certain types of nuclear reactors. So this is a pretty big deal. This joint commission has monitoring and verification oversight of Iran's nuclear program for the next, in some cases, 10 years, in some cases, up to 25 years, depending on the particular provision. It's very specific on what is going to be inspected, when it's going to be inspected, and what has to be reviewed and certified by whom to stay in compliance with the agreement. The agreement contains a dispute resolution mechanism. It contains provisions allowing any party to the agreement to go back to the UN Security Council to snap back sanctions. It terminates previous provisions from the UN on Iran's nuclear program. It calls for the United States to cease economic sanctions against the oil and banking sectors in Iran and to cease sanctions related to the nuclear program. We can keep sanctions targeting human rights violations, terrorism, and missile activities. So the United States did not give up all sanctions against Iran in this process, just those related to the oil and banking sector and to nuclear issues. And we are allowed to impose additional sanctions for non-nuclear issues going forward. It also says that the United States has to take appropriate measures to ensure that state and local laws allow for full implementation of the JCPOA. We're supposed to, in the United States, actively encourage all officials to adhere to JCPOA policy. And there are similar provisions regarding the EU and its sanctions. So let's talk now about why President Trump has the ability to get out of this agreement. President Obama negotiated this deal as an accord, not as a treaty. A treaty would have required Senate approval, and that didn't happen here. Instead, the Senate passed bipartisan legislation, this is the Corker-Cardin Law, to require the president to certify every 90 days that the JCPOA is in America's best interest. You have to remember that this was not a popular move in some quarters, and there was real concern about whether we were trusting a government that could not be trusted in this process. So the president, now President Trump, is citing a provision in that review legislation about whether, relative to America's national security interest and Iran's measures to draw down its nuclear program, the JCPOA is appropriate and proportionate. And the president says it's not because of flaws in the deal, because Iran continues to test ballistic missiles that could carry nuclear weapons, and because Iran has persisted with the kind of policy throughout the world that the United States abhors, including its actions in Israel and its propping up of the Assad regime in Syria. In late 2017, Trump refused to certify the JCPOA under the Corker-Cardin Law, which kicked the agreement to Congress, and Congress did nothing. So Trump reluctantly issued the certification again. Now he is saying that the United States is going to immediately reimpose sanctions, which will put us in violation of the JCPOA. In theory, Congress could act to undo that, but that seems unlikely. So European nations are encouraging Iran to remain in the agreement to continue to abide by its terms. Iran has sent mixed messages. Some moderates would rather stick with the deal. Hardliners say no. A major problem for Iran and Rouhani and the Iranian economy is that most European businesses, specifically and critically banks, which already tend to avoid Iran, won't do business with Iran unless they feel protected from U.S. secondary and financial sanctions, which would require the U.S. taking specific action to protect them. Fundamentally, if the United States reimposes sanctions and European businesses avoid Iran, it's hard to know how Iran would benefit from continuing to abide by the JCPOA. Iran might just pull out of the deal, blaming it on the United States. So let's talk about leverage going into renegotiating this deal, which is what the president says he wants to do and what people like Lindsey Graham say should be done. The president says it was stupid of the United States to give up all of the leverage it had at the time of the deal. And the deal did represent a rare global consensus. One of the negotiators for the United States described the negotiation process as the whole world versus Iran, and said that Iran even had to bring additional staff to fill out its side of the table so it wouldn't feel so imbalanced. Iran came to the table because of severe sanctions on banking and oil exports. The Obama administration managed to get Europeans to impose crippling sanctions that hurt European business and Iranian business. They were able to do this for a few reasons. Everybody. Europe, Russia, China, everybody was genuinely concerned about Iran's nuclear program in 2015. Nobody liked Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, so it was easy to get global consensus against him. And it's important to understand that Rouhani has made great strides in that category. He is much more respected than Ahmadinejad was. Also, Europe liked President Obama more than President Bush and was willing to work with him. So what does all this mean? Sarah and I will discuss that on the podcast. It is hard to imagine for me a situation in which both Iran and the other parties to the JCPOA feel compelled to come back to the table. It seems like the United States wants Iran to give up its entire foreign policy, and I can't imagine why Iran would do that, especially when the United States still has a number of very significant sanctions in place and the ability to impose additional future sanctions. But it's something that we'll continue to talk about. And I hope that this reflection on Iran's history of dealing with colonialism and ethnic and religious pressures and instability in its government and its economy is helpful to understanding how we got here and where we might go from here.
Spring is so tricky because I feel the sun shining, the earth is waking up, and I want fresh, vegetable-forward meals. And I'm running in 75 directions and don't have a lot of kitchen and prep time. Fortunately, Factor is here for me and for you with fresh, never-frozen meals that are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in 2 minutes. They have a ton of options for us, including keto, protein plus, vegan, veggie, calorie smart, and so many add-ons. If you need help with breakfast or snacks or on-the-go lunches or beverages, Factor is here for you. Every meal I've had from Factor is so well composed, it's so flavorful, the sauces are delicious, and Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look for Earth Month Eats badges on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/pantsuit50 and use code pantsuit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code PANTSUIT50 at factormeals.com/PANTSUIT50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they made solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.